So, yeah, here we are doing the new format.
Yeah, we're changing up. I somewhat kind of figured it out, I think. It's probably going to go downhill really fast, but at least it looks more professional.
I like professional.
Yeah. Even though we're kind of amateurs, but it's okay.
So, all right. What's up, guys? Thanks for listening. And once again, we're back for another episode. Today's episode, I think we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. We're going to do some music. We're going to talk NFL playoffs. And I think that's a good way of doing it. I think we've gone so niche, like kind of niche focused on like what we're talking about each episode, where each episode has a specific subject. I say we just kind of freelance and do whatever the hell we want this episode.
Yeah, I'm feeling like we should just talk and just have a conversation, man. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's just we've figured out what we can talk about.
Stream your consciousness.
Yeah, yeah, to say the least. And now we've kind of, we're going to try something different. You know, we're going to kind of chit chat a little bit in the beginning. Then now we're going to try and do at least, I don't know how long it's going to work until we figure out how what we can and can't do, but we're going to kind of do a different intro every week. So different song, different topic, whatever it may be, we're changing it up.
Yeah, I like it. Change, it's the spice of life, man. So let's talk some music today. Let's talk NFL playoffs and what's going on. We'll kind of revisit our old predictions, see who was right, who was wrong. Philip Rivers and the Chargers.
Jesus Christ.
And then we'll I've been meaning and wanting to do a TV like kind of episode talk and some talk about some, you know, what's on Netflix, what we've been watching.
We'll get into a good breakdown.
So we'll talk about some shows too to round some shit out this episode. But yeah, stick with us and we'll take it right from the top.
Check it out. 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2. Check this out. Check this out. Check this out.
So like this, and we're back, and we figure that out after probably 5 minutes of me fucking around on GarageBand. All right.
Jesus.
Live and God. In charge. Here we are.
Okay. Well, happy first show of the new year, all of you listeners, and thanks for coming back for a new year of next episode will be better. We appreciate all you guys listening like you have on all the other episodes. And yeah, so I mean, a lot to talk about today, actually. But let's just get started right out of the gate. Let's dive into the world of music. So, new year, I mean, we always kind of do what albums come out and stuff like that. But with the new year, why don't we do a new format? So, we've already done a festival episode, and we talked in depth about a lot of different festivals and stuff like that. But now some lineups are dropping, and we're pretty much to the point where, unless you have a festival in late August, the lineup cards are pretty much out for just about every festival now. That is through June and almost July. So I think we should highlight a couple, including the one that I just bought and purchased
a
ticket to.
You're fully in. You are 1,000% in.
100% in. Already bought the plane ticket. Already bought the festival pass.
It's good to be committed, man. At that point, that it's out of the way at this point. So
yeah, I have been listening to a playlist the last couple days already in anticipation for the set list. So, yeah, I am going to – can I get a drum roll? I don't know why we're drum rolling because pretty much everyone that listens to this knows me and I talk about it.
I only have one hand. I don't know how I'm supposed to do drum roll with one hand.
But I am going to Bonnaroo, Manchester, Tennessee. Lineup dropped a couple days back, and it is probably, I'd say, the best of the bunch in my own personal opinion. That's why I'm going. But, yeah, headliners, you got Childish Gambino, Post Malone, The Lumineers, and Phish playing three different sets.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Right. I mean, just other names on the list, just to name a few. You got Yvette Brothers, The National, Hozier.
Is it Abbott Brothers? Yeah, it is Abbott Brothers.
Abbott.
Yeah, they're a pretty old-time group. Yeah, my mom, I remember.
Wrong and Fast is on the wrong syllable.
Something like that.
Cardi B, Brandi Carlile.
Oh, Brockhampton. Don't forget about Brockhampton.
Brockhampton, Grizz, Arl Grime, Solange.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. Yeah. Like, even looking on the undercard, I see Beach House, which I don't really know how that sounds live. I'd probably have to be in a mind of my own to be listening to that.
Michael Bailey texted me today. He's like, "Have you heard Beach House? I'm all about it." So
there you go, dude. That's
AJR, one of my guys from, I mean, off one of my favorite albums over the last year or two.
Yeah.
They got my album of the year last year of 2 Feet. He's going to be there. So really, really solid alternative undercard. And there's some nice little
EDM popping.
There's
up
a lot
in
of
there.
EDM yeah. on here, a lot of low card EDM.
There's country for those fucking weird folk.
I've noticed in the last two festivals that I've gone to, the lower EDM artists are the ones that definitely bring it the hardest. So
well, yeah, because it's I feel like they know they have an hour and however long out of a
so
set, and
they try
just
to make
get their time. Yeah, of
so
course.
That's fun. But the one name on here that is the funniest and actually the thing I'm probably one of the most excited about is the fact that Lonely Island is playing their second concert
and that,
ever.
That day alone, there's...
Saturday is pretty loaded.
Yeah, there's. Like, I'm looking over it now, and there's a pretty good amount of people.
Post Malone's headlining that day. Odessa's your EDM headliner. Hosier who just
love.
Put out great new music.
Casey Musgraves.
I was a little underwhelmed at first, but I'm starting to warm up. Casey Musgraves, big pop kind of country artist. I actually listen to her. She's not, I mean... It's
not
taller,
awful.
It's tolerable for me.
The National for me is like kind of the. Yeah. I hope that'd be like a night show. Personally,
I'm assuming that's your alt. That's like your alt subheadliner. Yeah. So they'll probably play around like
five or six, seven, eight.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Around there.
Lonely Island. I cannot wait. I think that's gonna be such a fun show.
So then that means that it's just how it usually is. That means that more often than not, most of these people that you see here, if you're wondering what they're going to play, they're going to have an album. Like Childish Gambino, I'd bank has to have an album come out at some point this year.
Yep.
Post Malone.
He's been on two now.
Post Malone, that's very possible. I mean, even though he's that big of an artist where you can just pay for him regardless.
He's kind of, you know, our call of Travis Scott being the festival whore. Post Malone actually kind
it's,
of
he,
stole
it's
the
just
crown.
He's popular, man. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So then the Lonely Island, they have to have a new album. They're not just going to play old stuff. And if they do, I get it because they have a big enough following, enough songs. But.
Yeah,
that's gonna be interesting.
There's everything, and I commend Bonnaroo, and I think that's the reason it definitely I think made me gravitate to it the most was the fact that I think this is the lineup that did the best job of being for as many people as possible.
Yeah,
there's so many
and there's,
different genres
there's
on this
so
lineup.
So many. Like, just different acts.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can give you a list of just, like, really weird things that, like, I don't even know if I want to see, but it's, like, different. So, like, first of all, the Thursday night headliner we didn't even talk about, but that's Grand Ole Opry, which obviously is in Nashville. It's, like, known for their country acts. But they're featuring a bunch of special guests. Doesn't even specify who it is. That's the Thursday night headliner.
That's crazy.
So that's going to be a bunch of probably really legitimate, like, musicians from the Grand Ole Opry will be making appearances.
Never
so
heard
cool.
of it, so that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, my parents have gone to it. They said, I mean, that's the kind of the mecca
thing,
for country music.
Course.
Like, that's, you know, it's where everyone, if you're a country musician, that's where you want to play.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, even though I'm not a huge country fan. Like,
yeah,
but also
we're both in the same boat on
trying
that.
To convince friends and my brother to go with that are
dude there's enough I like there's no way someone can say that they wouldn't have I mean I understand maybe if okay so if you do the if we do 4 days
yep which by
I
the way
get,
I'm trying to convince Colin to go that's why
I get the argument slash kind of thing where it's like oh there's only like five things I want to see I get that but there's so much here.
And
there's so much here.
Bonnaroo's been around for a
long
think,
time.
Pretty darn close to 25 years, if not 25
long
years.
Long time.
We're looking at this particular festival has its shit together. Like, I've
yeah,
been looking
dude.
It over experience
and they,
wise.
I'm a part of me is kind of wondering why I didn't go prior to this already because I think it was either this year, or not this year, it was last year or the year before. They had a ridiculous lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy.
They've had
good
a couple
lineup.
Good ones. Last year's was really poor, but in the
it might have
previous
been 2 years
couple.
Ago then.
Previous
but either
couple.
Way, man. It's. I was impressed. And from what we've kind of broken down over it already, at least what you showed me, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Well, I mean, you look at it too. I mean, just other things that they have. So I read this to you right even before we went on air. But, I mean, this is something that's really cool. So we're going to camp there. We're doing like a glamour camping, which we did last year at Firefly, which it consists of, I mean, you have a giant pop-up canopy tent. Four cots, and then you get air conditioning, and
it's like a legit
electric
tent. It's
yeah.
not
so
it's not like you're.
If
you
get
fine,
if you get rain, if you get rain, you will be fine. Like legitimately, it is not even.
You have a shelter.
You. Yeah, so it's cool.
It's like the out of like the future things you saw in like the Hunger Games
last.
It
year,
looks that legit.
Last year, I legitimately slept in a sweatshirt in 80 degree weather.
Like,
it
was,
hell. It worked so well. I was really happy.
Well, there you go.
So,
teach his own, I guess.
On top of that stuff. So
we had AC, so that makes sense.
Yeah. But on top of that stuff, all the activities they have around the festival itself. So, they were advertising the campground plazas, and they're still saying there's more stuff they're going to add in 2019. But I read this to you right before we went on air because this actually kind of blew my mind. But they have these specific campground plazas to the campground sites themselves, and they call each one a specific name. But this one I'm looking at right now is called The Ville, and in the plaza itself, they said they had surprise karaoke with T-Pain, who was on the set list last year. They had a secret show altogether, just a straight up secret show from Cage the Elephant, who wasn't on the set list last
year. Is insane.
Which
think
is
the
what's
fact that
in the hell?
That's a like, surprise show is
yeah,
crazy.
That's like that's at least a sub headliner.
Oh,
like
completely
doing a surprise
is.
Show. That's
no
insane.
Question.
Granted, I do think the head or the lead singer, I think, had a booth there last year, so they were around. But still, doing a surprise set, that's really cool. And then they also had like. Late night parties at these places. So, I mean, there's so much stuff to do with these things. So
it's very easy to think that it's, you go to your shows and then you just go back to your tent. But then when you get to like,
and you can do
everything,
you can
yeah, completely. Yeah. And it's, if you look over everything, it looks like it's a very interactive experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good.
This one, I mean, this one definitely stuck out to me. And I think we have 5 people signed up to go right now. We're hoping obviously to get you 3 to get a full 8 to do a 4-4 tent, which would be great. But yeah, this
my
lineup
God.
To me is just
yeah.
something,
it'll be some good stuff going on there.
So yeah, I'm hoping we get the full 8 because that would be something else. But yeah, all right. So moving on from Bonnaroo, and you will hear me talk about that a lot because
oh, yeah.
I'm already.
You're
back
committed,
of my head,
so you're allowed to talk about
back
it.
Back in my head, I already have about 5-6 artists off this that are gems. That I can
yeah,
share.
Yeah, dude, and that's like third or fourth line people that are great,
so,
too.
Yeah, I already have a couple that, just for music suggestions, I might close out this segment
yeah,
with them.
That's
so
fair.
Be ready for a lot of Bonnaroo talk over the next several months if you're going to keep listening. But we were going to just touch on the other couple ones that at least stuck out to me because you actually mentioned Boston Calling.
I did.
Before we went on as well. So I wanted to talk about that one because that one is really interesting.
Pretty
but
good
it's
lineup.
Also a little smaller.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point.
Early May, too, which they were late to release because usually
if you have something in May,
you're in May, you
got to
get it
first half.
Yeah, because Junes are out and
yeah.
That's what, you know, Bonnaroo's a mid-June, Firefly's a mid-June, or actually late June. So, yeah, they're kind of slowed.
It's so crazy with this lineup, though, that, like, the first two lines are so big.
Yeah, there. I mean,
like,
there's not a
huge,
huge. Yeah.
And after that, in my opinion, it kind of drops off.
Bad undercard.
Very bad.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's cool that there's also comedians that are there as well.
Yeah, I like festivals that do that. Personally.
Makes it more of an interactive experience. Makes it more diverse.
I would say, yeah. Well, first of all, let's tell everybody what's on. So the first two lines are 21 Pilots, Travis Scott, and Tame Impala are your 3 headliners. And then after that, you have Odessa, Logic, Greta Van Fleet, Anderson. You don't like Greta Van Fleet?
I can't stand them. I think they're terrible.
Okay. Interesting. And then Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals,
oh,
Hozier,
God.
And Janelle Monáe.
I think Anderson .Paak might be the best person to see there.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I've already seen Travis Scott, and I know what I know, and I know that I think it's the best person there, but I have to, like, stir the pot and kind of figure out other people I would see that would be good.
Yeah.
Also, I think that didn't you say 21 Pilots throw a pretty good show?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. The fact
have you not
that
been
I think it's
to me?
I think it's pretty well one. I think this is pretty
it's my favorite band.
Offending.
They,
this
they
is
will
pretty
burn Boston to the
this
ground.
This kind of pisses me off a little bit. The fact that Sheck Wes is ahead of Black Star for one and Denzel Curry. That
well, Snake Hips is really far down too. That kind of surprised. Like Snake Hips and Denzel
Sheck
Curry.
Wes has a lot of hype behind him.
Yeah.
Understandably
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
He makes fucking bangers. There's no debating this.
Yeah.
But you're going to put him that far behind?
Yeah.
I
mean,
don't
just
know. Interesting.
Even like Denzel Curry and Snake Hips being like a couple lines below is
Chromeo, they're
but they're only
definitely
doing a, and
noticeable.
They're only doing a DJ set too. They actually headlined Thursday at Firefly last year. So
there you
like,
go.
Yeah.
Just do what you want, I guess, at that point.
But yeah, other than that, though, I mean, the only other name I even recognize, I've heard of Snail Mail, never really listened to their music, and then I know Super Organism, but other than that.
SOBRB, I know. Young Fathers, I know. What else? Kilo Kish, I've heard of. I thought it was Kilo Kush at first, then I misspelled it, but whatever. And then, obviously, comedians we know.
Yeah,
but
I've never heard of anyone on the
Yeah, it's and like, I'm assuming with Boston Calling, it's not as big of
it's
a festival.
It's
yeah,
a lot
it's
smaller.
Like you have
the ticket
one,
prices are a good $100 less.
Well,
because
it's yeah, because it's like you have one massive stage and probably one other stage, and that's about
it.
Looks,
but I mean,
who cares, man?
Look at the picture that they're showing.
Yeah, they have
like
something
on a
loop.
It looks
just
like
one massive
the,
stage.
Yeah, it looks in the middle of a city.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's called the Arena. I don't even see it. Do they even do it inside of a place? I'm curious.
That's interesting. We'll have to figure it out. Well, because then once they do the scheduling, they'll figure that out. Yeah. But
all right.
Yeah, that's probably about it from that. And, you know, I don't. I wouldn't
smaller one, but it was intriguing to both of us. So I wanted to let you guys in on that one. And then, yeah, honestly, the only other challenger and the reason I'm going to Bonnaroo is the fact that this one's all the way out in San Diego or Napa Valley. But, yeah, this Bottle Rock that's in Napa Valley has a fantastic lineup this year.
There's a lot of people.
I'd probably say it's – I'd still give it to Bonnaroo by a little bit, but the undercard on this is just sick. Like, it's so good. There's so many. So much depth on this.
And I'm assuming that's Saturday in the middle, isn't it?
Yep.
Holy shit.
By itself, yeah. So you got headliners Friday, May 24th, you have Imagine Dragons. Saturday's Neil Young, and then Sunday's Mumford. So good headliners, good solid headliners.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, other big names, you got Logic, One Republic, who I've not seen on any other one, but
apparently people still listen to him.
Yeah. Well, Adam Beard, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Jeez.
Sylvan Esso, Pharrell Williams, Nathaniel Ratliff, and the Night Sweats, which are just my people, man. God, I was hoping they'd be on Rue's lineup.
That's Santana. Wow.
Santana, right? Tash Sultana, Lord Huron, who's great. Gary Clark Jr., who shreds on guitar. But I mean, then you're going like deeper into it. Big Boy, Citizen Cope.
Too Short. Wow.
Yeah, Too Short.
There's so many names, dude.
Jeff Goldblum's going to be there with an orchestra. Like,
that's
what?
Insane.
But I mean, yeah, there's just so many big names on here. Just Loud, who I've played music for us before on this podcast from. Neon Trees, Lovely the Band, Marion Hill, Sir Sly.
There's a lot, to say the least.
There is a lot. So, I mean, this is another really deep lineup. And this one sold out in like a few days.
I'm not
like,
surprised. It's just the gone idea of it being, you know, like trendy with the whole Napa Valley wine area.
See, and the big thing with this one, though, why I would never even consider this one was the lack of camping. So for us, obviously, it's a little different for us.
I feel like it's if you're in the area, you've kind of looked
out. If you're
in
the area, you just drive to it and it'd be really fun. But yeah, for us, doing a cross country one, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it has to have more going on.
This area too, it'd be so expensive. Yeah. So didn't make any fiscal sense. But yeah, that lineup though, it's been two straight years of really good lineups at Bottle Rock. Where we read about it late last year and they had already sold out. But
of course,
and they do a really good mixture of like pop. You know, like I said, that's what I think a lot of new festivals are.
It seems like
forgetting.
Just off these clips that's showing in the background, it seems like so much more of like a personal size experience.
Yeah, yep.
Where it's more immersed, I guess. Like those crowds don't look huge.
It's closed off. I mean, they're really advertising in this one. It's more like there's a lot of other stuff to do, and there's a lot of other things to do.
Taste some wine.
You're in Napa.
Eat
man.
Some food.
You gotta. But the point I really wanted to make about festivals before we transition into our brutal NFL talk.
Good God.
Is I think that the mistake that a lot of festival lineups made and are starting to make this year in particular is they're really just chasing what album sales are.
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's understandable. It's a direct correlation because if you see what the album sales are, you're going to want to get the people that are selling the most or people that are being demanded of the most.
Definitely
agree. That's a thing. Like that's marketing essentially, isn't it?
And I definitely agree. But also, if you look at the two lineups that have sold the fastest, just out of where we're at so Bottle Rock sold out. What's the same? You know, the coincidence or the comparison you can make between Bottle Rock and Bonnaroo is the fact that it is the most genre like meshing two.
Yeah, they
two
just
full
they know they can mix everything around.
So when you have genres for everybody, because that's what I'm personally looking for. I like a lot of different kind of music. Yeah. I don't like just like
rap. I wouldn't want to go to one whole festival of just one thing. Even though I know I could do it, I just want to be. If I'm paying for like $400 something for a ticket, I want multiple genres of.
Agreed.
Great music.
And when I looked at, when I looked at Firefly's lineup, when I looked at, some of the other lineups that were really disappointing to me, like Hangouts, granted, it's a slow year, I think, just for like alt bands, because I think a lot of them don't have a lot of the big heavy hitters have already cycled through, don't have a lot of music coming out.
It was that, plus I think it's just the idea that hip hop and rap kind of took over 2018.
Yeah, it really did. And and that's all well and good. And
it changes every however many years. Whenever the imaginary torches pass, then simple as that.
Where places are making their mistake, like Firefly, for example, they went way too intensive on like hip hop and rap. And like to the point where I mean, I had no interest in going.
I think it works if you have a big enough name.
Yeah.
And when I say big enough name, I mean it has to get to the point where general audiences know of it.
But
if you understand and listen to, like, if you are in music and like you listen to it a lot, like we both do, and you're you want to know what's going on, then yes, you won't like it more or less.
I agree with you, but I'll say this. In kind of disagreement with you, because you look at what I'm using Firefly as the example because I've been there before, but their lineup was Travis Scott, Post Malone, Panic at the Disco, and they cut a day off. So that's
cutting a day off. I don't get.
I don't either. But you're looking at
might be. I mean, probably because it's expensive.
Really, really high profile rap names.
Yeah,
for a festival,
one pop, I'd say,
and one pop. But
no, I'm saying I'd argue Post Malone's pop. That's just me.
Yeah. From an amateur like. Person
I think it's just when just quick summation, his trajectory is going towards
closer
pop.
To pop. I agree.
Yes,
with that. I
just
agree
like
that.
Drake. Same
I think
thing. Towards
yeah,
pop.
I agree.
Same thing.
I agree. So, but still looking at it from an outside standpoint, I would still put them in the hip hop genre.
If you go on your iTunes, it's going to say hip hop rap for
so.
Pokemon. Yeah,
you look at that as two big heavy hitters, and that's two out of your three nights for a festival that used to be known as an alternative festival.
And it, I mean, it can change. It's. I think there's not many. There's some that are so obvious as what genre it is, but now it's like what we were both saying is that we want to have more genres.
Mm-hmm.
So expand it, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's
and
the thing.
If it's a slow, that's what I'm saying. If it's a slow year for, you know, I don't care if you have a lot of heavy hitters that are, you know, a certain genre.
If it's a good show, it's a good
spread
show.
It out. So do what we, you know, what we have at Bonnaroo, for example, where you have Childish Gambino, who, yeah, also hip hop and rap, but also has a fucking funk album. You know what I mean? Like it's a straight funk album. You have Post Malone, who's pop, hip hop, rap. Then you have the Lumineers, which is like fucking way out of left field. And then you have Fish, which is a legacy act, which is like a jam band. So, I mean, you're all over the place there. And then on top of that, you have different things going on where you have, I mean, there's literally a girl in that lineup that is like the queen of sitar for like, do you know what it's
like?
In music? Like where, whenever you see that, Andy's playing it in the office when he's sitting there. So her dad like literally invented sitar music to an extent. Like he's like the pioneer of it.
So he's
like,
a god.
You have that. Yeah. You have that, something like that on there. And then you have a guy by the name of John Prine, who's like one of the biggest country songwriters of all time that like wrote stuff for Johnny Cash. Like, so you have all
it's
this
just all
different
over
stuff
the place.
On there. And it is. And that's what a good lineup does. And that's why I think they already said today, I was looking on in Twitter, they said their tier three is already almost sold out. So it'd already go up.
I think the best thing I've always thought is, I personally can go across anything that requires a certain thing of hiring is in events like these, I think you want to have people that are young that are in charge of the committees.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to do the whole like fan vote thing, then make that like a percentage of your choice. Don't make it the entire choice.
I agree.
Because it's like, think of it like the NBA All-Star voting, dude. It's like all those years where fucking Zaza Pachulia was like top five.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, he's not going to fucking count, like clearly, but taking into consideration kind of thing. Which
no, I agree that.
It's more or less the idea where it's that you keep the demand to what the majority wants. Because if you, sorry to break it to you, but if you want this and that, if there's not a shitload of people doing it, then it's just not the right festival for you. Simple as that.
Yeah,
if the crowd isn't going towards that direction you want it to be, there's definitely going to be another one somewhere else that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way festivals work.
Yeah.
You know, like Coachella was garbage this year. It has been for, past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all popular acts that people want to see.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see it, so I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
All right. That pretty much wraps it up for festivals. It's really what we wanted to touch on. And I think, you know, like I said, it's still slow as fuck when it comes to music. Cause I mean, for
it's January, man.
Yeah,
it's January.
We don't have a whole lot to talk about from new album perspective. So we just figured we'd fill the void with a little more festy talk, especially considering I'm making the trip and hopefully Cullen will be making the trip as well. I'm going
to have to figure that out.
I'll break him. Don't you worry.
Yeah, and it's possible.
Next pod, he'll have his ticket bought.
Jesus.
I guarantee it.
My God.
But so let's go NFL talk when we get back. We'll go NFL playoffs.
We'll take a quick break. We'll
take a little quick break.
Figure out this good old garage band ordeal and we'll
be
right
back in 2 hours.
So now, if this is working correctly, which it is, we're back. And we're talking about the NFL.
and fill up fucking rivers, man.
Oh, God. Well, we're going to have to talk about him reluctantly. I don't know if I want to, but
have
I'll
my
give the
children,
man,
Philip.
I'll give the man the respect he deserves, but I'm still I don't feel bad about picking the Ravens that last week in that
you
game.
Should. That was fucking putrid.
Only because the first half maybe, but second half they were okay. So I'll live by that. That's
Lamar
okay.
Jackson, who can't throw a pass downfield, can beat Philip Rivers.
Yeah, well, they ran the ball a lot, and they only lost by a score, so I'm okay with that. That's fine with me.
Well, all right, so here's what I'll say, and we'll break down each matchup like individually, but I had to give Colin shit because he picked against the Chargers, and how dare you. Being my AFC Super Bowl pick from back when we were talking about it originally, I think I said – I don't remember who I said for my NFC one.
I think I
said – Do you remember your picks?
I had the Chiefs and I believe the Rams. Usually the Rams or Saints, one of the two.
I can't
Those are the only two
I
that
picked.
I picked.
I don't think I went anywhere out of – I probably said Saints too.
I know for a fact I picked the Chiefs, and I'm standing by that.
Yeah,
I know that for a fact. I did.
I think they might lose to the Colts this week, but we'll talk about that later. So,
yeah,
all right.
We'll get to it.
I mean, just even talking about playoff teams from a playoff standpoint, I did a fairly good job, as did you.
We both kind of did. I mean, even though we both kind of had similar picks.
My AFC team, I know, the only one I fucked up on, I had the Titans in, and essentially that was a straight up.
I had the Titans in as well, and it was smart. It was the last week of the year.
To be fair, when we were picking – all this stuff. I think how far into the season were we? About week 11-ish? Week 10-ish?
I thought it was like week 8.
Week 8, maybe even earlier. Yeah, so if it was
well,
at that point.
I know it was halfway.
If it was at that point, then the Colts were 3-5.
And then they ran the table.
And they ran the table.
As every year someone does.
So, I mean, that was hard to predict. I will say, though, like, I don't know. They had the pieces, but I just, who saw the luck thing coming?
Well,
the dude literally might have been out of football. Like
I would have. I definitely feel like I could gather like 3 or 4 people. I repeatedly talked and said that the first 5 games, it was the same thing with the Colts and the Browns. They both just fucked up at the end of the game, mm-hmm. and they were losing by a score.
Yeah, the Browns should have made the playoffs.
Browns should have made the 100%. Playoffs, and the Colts made the playoffs because they were in every single
game
they played.
And I said that
played.
From the beginning of the year. I said the Browns were going to win the division.
We both said the same thing.
So
we
both
were buying the hype train.
And I still don't feel stupid for doing that. If they would have fucking fired Hugh Jackson at the beginning of the year like they should have, or like after 2 games, they probably would have still salvaged
it. Spoiler alert for next year, they could definitely be up there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I think the two, if I'm buying stock in teams, I'd be selling, literally I'd be running and burning all my Steelers stock. Dear God.
Yeah, like, them and the Jaguars, the two that I would be burning.
Yeah. If the Jaguars get a quarterback, I'm still not ready to
give
up on them.
But they paid way too many people. So
true, but they're also going to get a rookie quarterback contract somewhere because they're going to draft one. So if they get lucky, they could.
Could.
But, yeah, the Steelers, man, Jesus. Like,
the
and they're going to be stupid as hell and get rid of Tomlin, which they should never.
I think
you should pay that guy whatever he wants. Like, and everyone's saying, like, he's lost, you know, the locker room discipline. I'm like, if he's lost the locker room discipline, nobody's able to like maintain the locker room discipline. Uh-huh. That dude's had that team under lock and key for years and years, had him completely disciplined.
Dude, the fact that all this AB stuff hasn't come out until now, and apparently it's been going on for like 3 years.
He should have been moved, and that's on general management to not get rid of him because that's fucked.
I think they should. This might be surprising to you, but I think they should just keep everyone as much as they can and just run it back, and then blow it up after once Ben leaves.
I don't know, man.
I don't know about
Roethlisberger's. I don't even know if, after all this shit, too.
Dude,
I would be surprised.
He gets paid like $23 million next year.
Yeah.
Paid a shit ton.
That'd be the reason he comes back, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's just like, oh, fuck you guys, I'm out. Like, just because of how bad the situation is.
I don't really know how I feel about Mason Rudolph, but.
Yeah. No, they'd draft somebody, I'm sure. But, yeah, if I'm buying and selling stock, Steelers, selling, burning, burying in the yard, and then
Colts and
the
Browns
I'm. I'm buying a poster and a sign for my front yard and putting it out.
I'm buying a Baker Mayfield fathead.
Yeah.
And putting it on my wall above my bed.
They are going to be very, very good, especially if they draft a little more defense, because that offense legitimately is like.
Dude, that defense is already like solid.
Defense
like,
is solid. Can add even a couple more names, and then you add like one more big piece on a wide receiver standpoint. The team's going to be scary as shit.
John Dorsey is a good GM.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Simple as that.
But. Yeah, so you look
back to the point at hand.
Yeah, you look at those two, and I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of what else I really picked that I fucked up on. I'd say, like I said,
I was
Titans
right about
was wrong.
Saying the Jaguars.
Obviously, we were both wrong.
Good.
The Vikings, like, I don't know. That was purple colored glasses, to be honest with me. Like, actually looking back on it, like, it's always funny because, like, after the season's over, especially with my own personal team, I'm never able to, like, as unbiased as I think I'm trying to be, I can never truly be unbiased because I'm just incapable of looking at that team because I'm such a fanboy.
With a Vikings cup under your desk right now.
Yeah, legitimately.
Yeah.
But, like, I look at, like, what that offensive line was, and anyone that is blaming Kirk Cousins for fucking any of that, like, yeah, he had some errant throws this year. The dude just did something in for the Vikings that no quarterback that we've ever had has done in history. 30 passing touchdowns, 70% completion percentage, less than 10 interceptions. Like, get the fuck out of here saying, like, that it's his fault for this year. Like, what is wrong with you? It could not be. And granted, maybe there were some things that were on him towards later in the year when he was starting to get a little down on himself because we had put so much pressure on him. But he literally won us games this year.
Yeah, here's the stat. So, it's tweeted by the Vikings. Kirk Cousins became the first player in NFL history to pass for 4,000-plus yards, 30 touchdowns, which I didn't even realize that he had that many touchdowns. That's crazy. Completed at least 70% of passes and throw 10 or fewer interceptions in a season.
Yeah, do you know how many quarterbacks in Vikings history have also had 30 passing touchdowns? You can, like, count them on one hand.
Yeah.
It's been the geriatric fuck Randall Cunningham that came out of retirement. And
Dante,
essentially,
probably.
I could have thrown 30 touchdowns to Randy Moss that year. Like, Jesus God, if you can throw it over 40 yards, you had a touchdown.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, Dante, who had an MVP year, who, crazy, had Randy Moss on his team. And then you had Brett Favre, who had, like, you know, a possessed year when he was 38 or 39.
Did a bunch of
and then
cocaine,
his arm
probably.
Dropped off and fell off his body when he turned 40 and he couldn't ever
just,
do
that
it again.
That was terrible,
but,
yeah.
I mean, those are the three. So we actually have a guy in his prime that did it, and people are blaming him for how bad we are. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
I'm,
like,
never going to be on that side blaming him.
You can be eventually, but it wasn't his fault. If he's doing it behind a really good offensive line next year, then I'm on board. But he was throwing behind literally nothing this year. Like, we had
if we get a line where we can get that going, and then we can get Dalvin to his
highest potential.
We had
an O-line coach die literally a couple weeks before the year. That literally had a borderline was co-head coach at times, from what I'm hearing.
And then one of the
line,
wasn't it Easton that went down at the beginning of the year?
Easton, who's a big, not a huge piece when it comes to, like, being really good.
Well, in terms
of
continuity.
Just from, exactly, the word I was going to use, continuity, that's big. So, yeah, we didn't, my purple-colored glasses didn't see the Vikes fucking up as bad as they did. To be honest,
I had them going 12-4 in the beginning of the year. I will say that full heartedly.
And I will say I was correct when I said in week 8, I said the Bears would make the playoffs. So thank you. And I said, I don't remember
congrats.
If I said they'd win the division. But
shout out to Cody Parkey, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Nice
that
one.
Yeah. That team.
Fuck them.
That team is legit. And, like, honestly, that team's going to be a fucking thorn in our side for the next.
Even without their DC that just left?
That is big. That was a big thing that happened today.
Huge.
Anyone that doesn't know, Vic Fangio got
Dick
hired
Fangio.
By the Broncos. Dick Fangio. Old DF.
Yeah, good old Dick Fangio. Dick's fangling down there.
But that's a big hire. I actually think he'll do
a
good job, too. But that's huge to get him out of division. Like, that literally – I mean, that defense still is loaded. But
I'm glad the Packers decided to just be fucking idiots, in my opinion. But we'll talk about that later.
They hired the guy from Average Joe's.
Yeah, they did. Matt LaFleur.
Cram it up a cram hole, LaFleur.
Fucking idiots. I don't even care. We'll talk about it later if we even get to it. But sorry about the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
Talk about the playoffs.
Like we said, we were both kind of on par with what we thought was going to happen. The Titans was my big fuck up in the AFC. And like I said, they were literally
was
right
there.
Was
that a fuck up, though?
Yeah. They really fucking fucked up towards the end of the year. Like, they had it.
They
in
had
the bag
it. Yeah.
And
you're
really
right.
Dwindled
I
down.
I was more or less thinking of, like, the. Was it bold to say that kind of thing, which I don't really think it was.
Yeah.
It was them or the Jags. No one was talking about the Colts.
Yeah.
Everyone was maybe – I mean, people were talking about the Texans, but everyone was talking about the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I had the Texans.
Jaguars
I mean,
dropped off harder than a fucking rock after, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They were done.
That's what happens when you have Cody Kessler in the game at any point.
Well, that's what happens when you sign Blake Bortles that much money.
Agreed.
There's no debate on that.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that – overall, no one saw the Colts coming. which I think is fair. I don't think, obviously, anyone really...
Did you watch that game, Colts-Texans?
Yes, I did.
I worked, so I didn't see any of it.
I watched it.
But, okay, so give me a summary. I honestly...
As expected...
I thought the Colts would win.
As expected, the hot team came out and played. Texans' O-line is shit.
It is really bad.
And really bad. It just was... It
Deshaun
was,
Watson
was,
doing what he did this year
I think it was
21-0
at half.
Yeah. If the Texans need to literally do what the... I mean, there's going to be... There's a couple
That's
teams
it,
that really need to
they
just grab the O-line.
They have a solid defense.
They've had a solid defense forever. J.J. Yeah. Watt has been a defensive MVP player for 4 or 5 years, and he's never gotten out of the first round of the playoffs. Like that, granted, he's never had a decent quarterback either, and he finally does. Yeah. That team's window like is still pretty darn big.
Yeah.
But they need to get their shit together.
I don't think anyone really expected the Eagles to – I mean, I think people expected the – people expected the Eagles to make the playoffs.
How it happened was strange
it just,
to
It's kind of like they knew their boat was going down. So
back against the wall,
they
it's like championship mentality when your back's against the wall. It's like winners do that. Like, I mean, when you've won and you know what it takes and when you have that single elimination like kind of mindset – they were able to turn it on at the right time.
Well, because I think they...
literally at the last second.
I think they rolled the line how they needed to because they had a shit division. I might have to turn your computer back on.
You can even argue
they
that.
They had their division shit. There's no debate in this. Redskins got out that early because they had an easy schedule and...
Dude, what if it...
That's it. Like, there's nothing else to talk about the Redskins. The Eagles got injured with Carson Wentz, what, like close to three-fourths of the way down the season. And at that point... Panthers were starting to look like shit and going down. They were definitely trending downwards. So the wild card was an opportunity. And then it was just them against Cowboys. And they won their games against Cowboys.
How insufferable would it be? And I agree with you because I do think the NFC East is poor. But
it won't be next year when the Giants get Dwayne Haskins.
But think about this. There's still two NFC East teams in the fucking playoffs right now. Yeah,
and I think one of them is extremely overrated.
Being Cowboys.
Yes.
I don't know, man. So, like, think about this.
I'm not buying any stock on
that. At home, I disagree with you. On the
road, they're not.
On the road,
yeah,
they're bad.
They're bad.
I'm curious. It just takes. They need one game, and think about this too, because I think if there's a team, if there's a team that could beat the Saints too,
it's the fucking Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys could.
God damn it!
Like,
fuck.
Or the Eagles. So, like, think about – okay, so
– it just makes it more interesting. I don't think there's one – I don't think there's one single team on both sides of either conference that I am so locked in and confident they'll run the table.
I agree.
Back then, it would have been the Patriots, but they're not even a fucking lick close to what they used to be.
Think about if the
it's
Rams –
it's finally interesting.
If the Rams choked and the Cowboys won and then the Eagles – upset the Saints, and you had a fucking NFC East, NFC,
it'd be a bloodbath.
NFC title game.
It'd be a bloodbath.
And the Cowboys would be hosting.
That'd be the biggest game at Jerry's World ever.
My head would explode. I could not handle that. Like that'd
be exciting.
I would be very upset because the two fan bases are so fucking terrible. I hate them both. So that would be, ugh.
I really wish it would get to the point where they get to that game, and then what's the backup's name? Sudfeld for the Eagles?
Yeah.
He plays, throws for like 400 yards, pulls the TO and the star, and then just everyone goes fucking crazy. They make the playoffs or the Super Bowl, and then they lose to my dad.
So let's talk about individually each matchup. So we'll go first. AFC, first game, it's on Saturday, 3:35, NBC, at Arrowhead Stadium.
Big advantage.
Your father, Patrick Mahomes, is quarterbacking. The Colts are probably the hottest team in football right now.
True.
Nothing to lose.
Nope.
And I do think the matchup of the terrible Kansas City pass defense against Luck is intriguing. I think the Colts have a shot. I don't know if they'll do it, but I think they got a shot. And I'm telling you right now, out of all of the matchups right now.
You're probably seeing that as an upset?
No, I take it back. That'd probably be the second most likely upset that I see.
Well, outside of the Chargers?
Yeah, I think Chargers are going to win.
Well, you're like, right. I mean, ride your pick. I'm riding my pick.
I don't think it's riding it. I think it's fact. I think they're going to win.
And I'm riding mine behind the fact that I think if it's – either next year or the year after, I would pick the Colts.
Yeah.
regardless
that,
of whatever.
That O-line, once it gets a couple
regardless
years
of whatever cut, side. Yeah. That's like their line could be what the Cowboys' line was like 2 years
if
ago.
If the Colts actually where invest in some like receivers too to put next to T.Y., like, dear God, they're actually going to be decent, man.
Good old
like,
Eric LeBron, a.k.a. Eric Ebron, yeah, will actually
resurrect his career and
somehow.
Actually looks like a really good tight end all of a sudden. Like,
yeah.
What the but, where the hell did that come from?
I just – every sign to me just points to a home win that's close for that
yeah.
game. Makes it interesting, but it's...
We've seen it before, though, man. I'm telling you.
I'm not going to be surprised they
Mahomes
lose.
Is a freak of nature, but you also, like...
Their defense is so fucking bad.
It's so bad, and you always look at rookie quarterback versus veteran quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It always works for the veteran, even True. If it's, like, a big underdog. And I'm not saying... Mahomes is a superhuman, so, like,
yeah.
he might be the exception,
Their
not
offense
the rule.
Is full of superhumans. There's not... I mean, that's just the way it is. I just think that I'm...
Indy.
I'm one riding my pick because I feel good about it and I've stuck with it and it's been good most of the year.
Yep.
I called it early on. I wouldn't shut the hell up about Patrick Mahomes. I'm sticking with it. I'm staying on my pick.
I'm just telling you.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
This, like, legitimately, if you told me come
this
Monday.
This is like a Saints or like the Eagles run of in the playoffs where it's the same thing. They just run the table and they
yeah.
just can't be stopped.
If you told me come Monday that every single team, a lower seed won, I would not be surprised.
So it would
outside
be
of maybe
Colts, it'd be Colts, Chargers, Cowboys, Eagles.
Outside of maybe
Fuck,
the just, only and the only one
that NFC game would be. I'd fucking quit work just to watch that game.
And the only one that may I take it back. I would be surprised if someone told me the Cowboys on the road beat the Rams. Cause
you shouldn't be hell yeah. I'd be
yeah.
totally surprised.
Based on
the Rams are probably looking at themselves like, wow, we really fucked up last year. We could have gotten that much further last year and then even bounced even further again. They could have easily have been a team that could have been to back-to-back Super Bowls last year.
Not to say too that
if Goff was playing the way he was.
Not to say too that the Cowboys don't match up well or like can't do it, cuz I think if the Cowboys were playing the Rams at home, I actually think they'd like
Oh,
contend and maybe
dude?
They'd probably
Goff's
even be
been
favored.
Playing like shit the last
yeah.
however many weeks.
So
it's been so average.
It's just Dallas has been so bad on the road, like to the point where it's just yeah. like, yeah, I mean, just can't do anything on the road. So I would be surprised by that just based on that fact. But
yeah.
everything else, you told me Philly beat New Orleans. I'm like, yeah, they're Super Bowl champions. I'm not surprised. Like
good coaching.
Yeah, good coaching. Like it makes sense. Chargers, I literally think should be favored against
a part of me thinks that whole Sean Payton thing he did the other day was one just super douchey and I didn't care for it.
It was
the
stupidest
time,
thing I ever heard.
But at the same time, shit like that, I just the back of my head's like, oh no, watch when they fucking run the table and they win the whole thing because of that.
Well,
bullshit.
Yeah, here's the point. It's always like like I always say,
yeah,
when
you want this, motherfuckers, yeah, you can do this. Three fucking wins, yeah.
Like I always say, whenever I'm watching an NFL game or something like that, and some dude's fully decked out, got like face paint, picket fence,
yeah,
like
everything.
He's got a team cock ring on,
yeah,
like he's literally like freaking the fuck out,
yeah,
like. But then his team's down by 40 points. He's sitting there just like all mopey, like not
yeah.
even moving anymore. I'm like, yeah, look pretty fucking stupid now, don't you?
Same thing
with that. It's if you go and get one outed by the yeah. Eagles now after doing something that
yeah.
stupid,
you look
like a fucking idiot. Just like when you're skull clapping and you lose on a Minneapolis Miracle. Like
Camaro, where he's on the sideline,
ha ha,
eating Skittles
ha,
and laughing.
Yeah.
Fucking you look, idiot.
Never fucking party too soon. But yeah, I, man, that, yeah. Sean Payton takes the cake for douchiest human being. In the NFL, I think.
He just has that look.
Yeah. I'm
just
not a
sucks.
Fan. But, all right, so pick it. Indy, KC.
KC.
You're picking KC?
Yeah, we're split on that.
Let me look. You know what? I'm going to look up spread, too, to make it interesting. So, I don't know. If you had to wager, what do you think?
KC minus 5.5.
Let me see what they have on here.
Haven't looked.
ESPN. All right, they got multiple. Oh, ESPN's pulling daily lines now. I didn't even know that. All right, Saturday we got.
Oh, see, hey, look. What, hey, well, 5.5.
5.5,
right.
boy. 5.5.
There you go.
Yeah, I would. God. Vegas knows what they're doing, man. That is a solid point spread. Full touchdown. I would probably take the Colts in the points. I don't know if I'd
put money down.
No, I don't know if I would take them outright to win.
Yeah.
But I think they'll keep it. Like, it's going to be one of those games.
That's
where,
why I said
like,
it'd be interesting.
It's going to be close.
It's not going to be a blowout game. There's not one game here that'll be a blowout game.
Like,
I don't
think
there will be.
This game will be like 34 to like 31 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I would still take KC. But God,
it's a very sexy pick.
I want to take the Colts.
Yeah.
Like, I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll take KC. But. Yeah, I mean, look at that over-under, too. You're looking at 57 points. So you're looking at 34-31, we'll put you at 65. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I don't – do they know something we don't know, too? Because, I mean, Unibet's putting it at 55.5. I mean, what do you think
about that? I don't know. I'm still sticking with it. I think that it's fair. I don't think – I think it's going to be a close game. I know there's going to be a lot of points.
That's like – I mean, geez.
There has
okay.
to be points, dude.
I don't know. I mean, if there's no points, Colts are winning. Like,
yeah,
that their defense
game,
is
their game
significantly
is more,
better. Significantly
their game
better.
Is more tailored to them.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if Kansas City gets over 30, they'll win. And that
usually they
that
do. Don't they average like 28 a game?
Yeah, they're freaking nuts. All right, so graduating downward now to the late night, and it will be the first NFC game, and it is Dallas at the LA Rams. And I watched the Dallas Cowboys playoff game, the first one.
Yeah, as did I.
And it was maybe the most boring game.
Yeah,
I
really regret watching that.
It's the style of football they play. And, I think that actually does go in their favor. With Zeke healthy, and if they run him 25, if they can get him 25 to 30 carries.
I don't understand.
They'll stay
defense.
Close.
I don't know what to expect out of the Rams defense every week now. Because they are so up and down that I don't. Put them in any bit
the
of
Rams defense
echelon.
Is so copy and pasted together too, like it's like
it just doesn't make sense.
It's like
they
I
just,
put it together on a game of Madden
when you're
like,
drunk.
Yeah, like when I so like you look at
oh
like,
he's got a high rating, I'll throw
I turn
in.
Salary cap off, so I'm just like Ndamukong Suh's really good,
like, and then you're like Aaron oh Donald's I saw All-Star. Marcus Peters had a bunch of picks
like,
1 year,
and then yeah you're like Marcus Peters I know him, and then you're just
and
like
then you're oh wait
and then you're
he's
like
a
oh shit
fucking punk.
You're like oh shit like I ran out of money Aqib Talib I can get him on a minimum like Jesus. Like he's still really good, but it's just like you know what I mean, it's just so copy and paste together, and then all the other names like they have a couple nice linebackers, but
it's
just
the
like,
idea of building through the draft and not building through the
yep.
draft
yeah they're solid
offense
based.
Is built
it's free
through draft
yep which how's that working out for him really mm-hmm. freaking good
pretty fucking
I mean good. Up until semi recently yeah. but yeah, the defense is so copy and pasted, and just like it's like someone like
because they have money, man. That's
someone
just how
took
it was.
Like a bunch of magnetic names and like just threw it against a whiteboard, and yeah. it's just like, hey, there's our defense. Like yeah. it's what they did. But I mean, it's
Wade
worked
Phillips
up until
hasn't
now.
Been the same guy usually is too, so that's been kind of a little bit of a downer for them, obviously.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that I don't want to watch this game. As crazy as that sounds, I feel like it's gonna be boring as hell.
It's two really different styled teams, to be honest with you.
One wants to play fast. The other one is,
which
we don't know what the fuck we're doing on offense, but let's just hand it off to Zeke.
Yeah.
And then try and pass, like, every 30 minutes.
I love, like, so the addition of Amari Cooper at least made it somewhat, like, there's, like, semblance of offense.
Well, he's
now, like,
completely different guy.
To the point where it's just, like, I mean, just because they have an actual wide receiver on that team that can run a route now that's not Cole Beasley.
Or that's not Dez Bryant. He's a
I mean,
fucking idiot.
So, I mean, I was watching – because I caught a Dallas game about halfway through the year. And I watched their big receiver was Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
And I was watching him try to run routes and, like, try to beat number one corners. And it was
no
like –
no chance.
I mean – you'd have, like, any time – because, of course, Dallas is getting, like, national time still even when they're shitty.
Well,
because
they're
the
biggest
the
team, yeah.
And so. Joe Buck's just like, look, these receivers just cannot get open. And they always do the patented, you know, replay where the receiver's, you know, doing the one-on-one with the corner.
Just
and Gallup's
bodied.
Just, like, getting just destroyed by yeah. any corner. It's literally, like, yeah. they're just, like, you know, wrapping him up before he even touches the ball. Just, like, Amari Cooper being added into that fold at least – allows them to do like some play action and use tight ends and stuff like that. Cause I mean, like, without any wide receiver options, it really just doomed them. And it has made a difference. But I just do not think, especially with like what Dallas's defenses look like on the road, I think you could do a number of different things if, cause pass defense is kind of their strong suit. You just run Gurley until you're, you know, until you're bored. And then you can start running some play action against them. Get
mix
those rookie – I mean, get, like, Vander Esch confused and doing some, you know, play action, stuff like that on him. I mean, And McVay, I know, is clever enough to do just like
some. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fucking boring game. I'm standing by it. I'm not. Unless I have nothing better to do, I am not planning on watching this.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I don't know.
I'm just not interested enough.
Dallas has a shot if they keep it. If
it's close at half, they'll obviously be looking for the score. If it's close and it's high scoring in quotes by half, then yeah, I'll watch. But outside of that, I'm not. Fuck that. I'm not watching. No
Dak,
way.
I will say Dak is kind of made me eat my words a little bit about him. I said he was not a franchise quarterback. And I will say,
I still stand by that, dude. He has not been doing anywhere near as good as he should be doing.
His numbers with fucking Michael Gallup and Cole Beasley for half the year, though, I mean, it's decent. And he's made some throws over the last couple weeks where I'm just like, oh, Dak actually can kind of.
If he can consistently have his teams at like a 12-4, 11-5 stature in that division,
with this,
which is so fucking up and down. Yeah. Then, yes, I will give you your credit.
I'm not ready yet. Good. I'm just saying.
I'm not either. I don't think anyone is.
But, all right, point spreads plus it's -7 for the Rams.
That's fair.
Your thoughts?
I would have maybe have said 8.
Oh, so you don't think Dallas will stay within a touchdown or no?
No, I don't think they will. I don't.
Two touchdowns?
Possible. Very possible. I feel like this team, the Rams – they still have a chance to really kind of wake up and realize that they're that talented. And there's a reason why everyone picked them so early on in the year.
Okay, so I'll tell you the number that I thought in my head of, like, the score I was thinking for this game. And the over-under actually is, like, pretty on point with it. I think the Dallas defense is decent enough to at least keep them, like, dampered down. I don't think they're going to put up, like, 40 or anything like
that. No, I don't think so either. I don't think any team in the playoffs.
The number in my head was 27-10. And
fair.
The over-under is 49.5. So I'd say that's pretty much – I mean, if Dallas added a field goal, they hit the over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I'd say that's probably kind of on par with what I think. I think this – yeah, I don't think Dallas can hang with them, personally. I think I've seen the Rams play, especially when they're at their peak. I know they'll bounce back, too, especially when it means something. They'll play good football, especially at home. I mean, we saw how hard it is to, like, play there. Jesus, at the Coliseum. Like,
Jesus Christ. Yeah. it's tough. So we're both on the same page on that.
Yep.
Moving forward to your pick of the Super Bowl winner, I would assume, still.
They're giving New England 4 points, huh? Wow. Yeah, I would smash that. Give me Chargers to win. And, yeah, straight up money line. Like, fucking throw.
Do we know if
$200 on that.
Do we know if Gordon's playing?
Melvin?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything indicating that he's not.
Okay, good. So I was going to say, because if he's not playing, that's a big factor.
Makes a difference.
Big difference. Yeah, I
still think Eckler could fuck that linebacker core up. But no.
I think that it's still the same. Oh, Foxborough. Blah, blah, blah.
They also have that Justin
There's
Jackson
numbers to show there. That, like, you just don't win in Foxborough.
Yeah, I agree.
Whether it be the whole, you can pull the just shitty move and be like, oh, the refs. Blah, blah. But, I mean, there's proof.
I'm going to try to be the guy that accurately predicts when Tom Brady finally fails.
It's this weekend.
I have never said it once. Like, when everyone's been like, oh, my God, he's failed. I'm like, I've always been the guy in the corner saying, like, nope. He's Tom Brady.
I said this year would be his down year, which in some ways it kind of was.
I think, because I've watched them, I've watched their deficiencies, I've watched what they're poor at. Mm-hmm. I watched them in the, what was it, Monday Night Football game against Detroit earlier on.
I was at Aaron's place when we watched that.
That was the worst. And granted,
like, quarter was, what, a pick six and kick return?
I've seen New England look bad, but here's the thing that makes New England look bad. So, lacked wide receiving options. Their biggest wide receiver was Chris Hogan. That's a problem.
Who is their biggest receiver right now?
That's a problem. Edelman is their biggest receiver right now, I would say.
Yeah, I guess.
That's their biggest. That's their target.
Yeah.
Having him in the fold does make a difference. Because you have
three
Brady
receivers.
Needs to have two receivers at least that are reliable.
He has three.
Two of them being Gronk and Edelman. And then you can add Hogan being, I guess, but I've watched Chris Hogan play. I think Hogan's shit.
I think he's shit. I think that Gronk is washed, like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He's like mellow washed.
I think he's banged up.
He's
like,
mellow washed.
He's still, I mean, that dude's always hurt to the point where, like, I think he's just, like, always hurt. Like, I don't
meaning
think
you should fucking retire.
Meaning he should retire. I think, like,
which is
legitimately.
Still
he's
likely. He thought about last year, so.
Should have. Because he doesn't look like himself anymore. It's not Gronk anymore.
And I just, their defense is so average.
It's porous. And, like, they give up big chunk plays, and, like, they try to keep you in front of them. But, like, I'm telling you right now, with how many weapons the Chargers have, that's the problem. Yeah, they have a good, like, for example, when they played us, we had Thielen, who they just straight up double covered.
Yeah.
Did Diggs play that game?
Nope.
Yeah, there's your problem right there. We had one receiving option, and they have one really, really good corner. There's three.
Did Diggs play? I don't know if he did.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
And it makes a difference. There's three receiving options. You can even argue four on San Diego.
That was D-Flip's last game.
Yeah, it was. You can argue four. No, he did Seattle.
Oh, yeah, it was Seattle game.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a week later.
Yep. You can argue that there's four wide receiving options for Rivers, plus running back, scat back, that they have to account for. That's too many freaking weapons
just,
for that New England defense.
They're just a hot team, dude.
Yeah, and the O-line, the big question mark is if they can avoid pressure and not turn the ball over. If Rivers doesn't make stupid throws, and he has,
which
I'll
he
give
can.
Him, he can. But
playoff record speaks of that.
Also, this team has been light out on the road. They're 9-0. That's insane. Yeah. Like, that is insane.
Chiefs
they play,
game's bullshit.
They play better away from home. Like,
well, their home stadium's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
It's a training facility.
And it might host an AFC championship game.
Oh my God.
If the Colts win, it could.
My God. Yeah, well, I'd bank that's not going to happen. So we're going to get probably the best AFC game of the year again.
Chargers-Chiefs, I would make sure I watch that game. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, like, that's very likely. Because
that
possible.
Is straight up going to be like 40-40. Like
shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
just
wait.
Just like it was.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait. So, book it. It's -4 for the Patriots. I would just, I mean, straight up give me money line on Chargers. Like, I would
throw
so much money
at
that. Yeah,
I get it. It's a very understandable choice.
Yeah. I still think they're going to the Super Bowl.
I don't think there's been a time where we've ever seen a New England team like this that's that underwhelming.
I'll say this. If New England still wins, and, I mean, they very well might. If they still win, this is the first time where I've legitimately seen the cracks forming, though, where, like, I've watched Brady this year. Brady actually looks old. Like,
yeah, not
he
even
looks
close.
Old.
He can't move around at all.
He looks old. Like, yeah. I've seen it in
like
past
Peyton
where, like,
Manning old.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, like, oh, like, Brady's slow. Like, Brady's been slow for years and years. No, like, I've seen him, like, that
slow.
Dude just don't even, that dude don't even try to make plays happen. If he feels pressure, he'll fall to the ground. He don't even care. And like,
it's like
so
it's
even
like how it was Peyton Manning.
Even some of the throws I've seen, like,
dude, those throws you had, what was it, last week or the week before? I mean, technically 2 weeks then, where it was that game against the Jets and he missed. I think it was either Hogan or Gronk.
He missed throws in the Vikings game when I was watching. I was like, that's not Brady-like. Yeah, so there's cracks forming. Because, I mean, like, obviously without him, they're nothing. But, I mean.
No, and who knows? Maybe they lose this game. He's like, I'm old. I'm done. Then I think more likely it's not surprising if Belichick's like, I don't want to ruin my record.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves. Josh McDaniels gets his holy promise that I'm assuming was the reason why he stopped the Colts job. Is that he's like, I'm going to get my own team, and it's going to be the Patriots. I'm like, okay, buddy, congrats. They're going to suck ass for a good amount of time because they did not keep Jimmy G for every reason.
Yeah.
So
I still don't understand that.
A part of me, that's the reason for me now where I'm
that
kinda,
was the weirdest
I'm kind of
thing.
Hoping now that the Chargers win so that this happens.
Yeah.
Because it's very possible.
I'm telling you right now, the Chargers would do the entire league a favor. I think that would send that entire, like, dynasty
dude,
into
whole,
a total spiral.
Oh, past a spiral. That would be – pardon the pun.
Because it's different.
Excuse my pun, but that would literally be a Gronk spike. He would retire. Gronk would retire more likely. Brady would more likely maybe retire. If that happens, Belichick's gone. Then you have Edelman who.
I mean, after that, though, I mean, Edelman, it doesn't matter.
It's such a drop off.
It doesn't matter. Cause,
it's
like,
huge.
Yeah. I mean, you have Gronk, Belichick, and Brady all leave. That team's a completely different team.
Oh,
they're literally.
1,000%.
Legitimately, that team's like. In bottom tier, like, of maybe even, like, their own personal division. Like, it's different. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're looking at.
And that might be the worst division in football then.
Yeah. Well, it already is. Yeah, just bounce the Patriots out. But I think it does make a difference because I would argue that if they make it to another conference championship and then lose to, like, a crazy Chiefs team or, you know, a crazy if the Colts go on a hot run, like, I think he would still come back because he's like,
yeah,
oh, we're, you know,
we were
a win away. Like, you know what I mean? I think they get bounced in the divisional playoffs. I think you might actually see that.
Divisional, happen. They might retire. Conference, maybe come back. Who knows?
Yeah. I think there is a big difference there. Yeah. So, but all right. You got Patriots? Patriots, and I
got I got Chargers.
You're going Chargers?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a fair pick.
I like
it. I think it's a smart pick, to be honest.
I like it. He's on the Philip Rivers bandwagon.
Just for this week, and then he can go eat two dicks next
Phillip
week.
Philip Rivers.
Next week, he's going to get pounded.
Philip Rivers by the Colts.
Nice try. Moving forward.
Carrying on.
To the last game.
Last game of the weekend.
I don't want to watch this game either.
Fucking Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. God, like literally my two favorite teams in football.
I don't want to watch.
God, can this stadium just explode and take everyone out on both teams? Like,
I mean, I'd be okay with it. I don't think really anyone in the world would.
Ick.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a gross game. I think that it's going to be the Saints coming out. I don't think it's going to be close. Personally,
yeah.
I think that. If we would have gotten the Bears in this game, it would have been probably the game of the week.
Yep.
But we didn't. And now we have to watch a boring-ass Philly team against a team which I would probably put in my top five most hated across any sport. It's up there.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
I like Michael Thomas a lot, though. I would like him on the
line is up to 8 on this for the – so I mean,
like I'm saying,
Saints,
it's not going
to
be close.
That's high.
It's not going to be
two
close.
Score. I mean, legit. I mean, it's one score, but I mean, it's technically probably
two
scores.
Yeah.
But yeah, that. Yeah, I.
It's not much to say.
I hate both. I would love to see the Saints just stomp on them and then get beat in the next round,
which I think is possible.
But
who knows what Drew Brees is playing though? I don't know.
I mean, the Saints are still my favorite. I think they're going
to
win the whole thing.
I'd have to go back. I'm pretty sure we both. Picked
I think
the Saints.
I said Saints Chargers in the final. Maybe
I said
right. I either
Chiefs.
Said Saints or Rams. I can't remember, but I think I said Saints.
No, I definitely said Saints because that was either a week or two after that game, Saints Rams game.
Okay,
and I said the Saints.
But
so.
Yeah, I mean, I think a Saints Chargers Super Bowl would be really fun. I think it'd be pretty interesting.
I like to see Drew Brees get hit by a car.
Wow, that's aggressive. But yeah,
put Sean Payton in the
I would take seat. Saints. I actually would think I'd probably take points too. I think they're gonna win by like. 10 or 14.
I was going to say 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two scores. 100%. I think there's too many weapons. The Eagles are so freaking just, like, destroyed on their secondary. I don't even know, like, how they've
the
managed
secondary
to.
Is super
I mean,
average.
If you actually look at Trubisky's numbers, he had, like, 300 yards. So, I mean, like, they.
Didn't make the throws he needed to make. Could have won the game.
I disagree. He actually put them in.
Well,
play store.
Think about the whole game, man. Like, yeah. It's just outside of. I mean, there's multiple possessions in the beginning of the game that made a difference. But.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. Well, that's where I don't care. Bears can go eat 17 and a half bleepity bleep bleeps, but
K yeah. Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think same thing with the Cowboys game. I'm not thinking that either one of these NFC East teams are going to win. I'm not. I think that it's everything points in the direction to Rams Saints, which I would love because
Rams Saints would be fun.
That game was so good
yeah.
earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And it would be there again, wouldn't it? They have the tiebreaker.
Well, it'd just be one seed. I mean, Saints have home field.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be round two of that game, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
In a really perfect good. World, I would love to see Rams Chiefs again. That was my favorite game of the entire
year.
Yeah. That was the best game of the entire
year.
That
for the Super Bowl would be pretty nuts. I mean, with what happened.
High scoring.
Yeah.
And that, like, that just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. It broke.
There was legit, like, what, 350-yard touchdowns?
It broke the internet when that happened, too. I remember reading
that. That was incredible. I watched that whole entire game. I was so happy.
So, to New Orleans. So, let's. All right. So, your AFC 100%. NFC Championship. For me, it would be Kansas City. Versus the Chargers. That'd be the same for you, actually, too. And then NFC, Rams.
Only thing we didn't agree on was Colts and Chiefs.
Did I say Colts?
Yeah, you said Colts.
Oh, I did say Colts?
Yeah. You stuck with it.
Oh, I thought I said Chiefs. But, yeah, okay. You know what? Fuck it. I am going Colts. Colts, Chargers. I like it. Double
Bold.
Upset in the AFC.
Bold.
I like it. And then the Chargers in their MLS stadium are hosting.
That's disgusting.
An AFC championship game. I would love that so much. I think Goodell's not going to let that happen.
Yeah,
so
well, Goodell
the
is
fix
awful,
is in. If the Chargers lose,
Goodell
fuck Roger
be,
Goodell.
Goodell might be the top five worst human in the country. So
that's also aggressive and probably not true, but okay.
Either way.
So, all right. That concludes our NFL playoff talk.
Yeah, we'll probably come back to it next week. once revisit all the dust settles.
Yep. See who was right, who was wrong. Philip Rivers. That's all I got to say.
If he loses, I'm not going to feel bad. If he wins, good for him. Simple as that. I still fucking hate him and all of his 9 kids or however many he has. Regardless, you know, let's keep it running. Let's not take a break. Fuck it, why not? Let's keep the dice rolling. Huh? No, right. we'll move we'll transition to television.
Television, you say?
Yes, all and right. Disclaimer, I haven't seen Bird Box yet, so if you want to talk about it, I can't.
I mean, doesn't really count as television. It is kind of a movie, but
yeah, that's fair. I guess I'll give you fuck for that.
I'm kind of giving you shit. Yeah, we can just talk about really whatever we've been watching. I have seen Bird Box, so yeah, you can't talk it. Have you?
True. You might want to mute that probably.
Yeah, trying to. Don't want to.
Dude,
hear
I don't want to get any like strikes of copyright.
Godzilla the Planet Eater. Trying to get in.
That'll
on
be
my...
a no for me.
It'll be a hard no.
Yeah,
for
you
me,
know
dog.
What's funny? So you see Bodyguard right there, popular on Netflix. That won a Golden Globe.
Bodyguard.
I watched it and it was okay. It's I don't really know how you're gonna have more seasons. It's the guy who plays.
If you would have told me it won an Emmy, then I would have been like, Golden Globe. Oh wow, cool. Golden Globes don't count.
Yeah,
it's a fucking popularity contest.
I respect Golden Globes probably more than the Oscars.
Well, that you're that no what? No.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. That is kind of a valid point because it's like comparing American Music Awards to Grammys. One's ridiculously stupid, and the other one's stupid.
All right, so should we? You want me to go through my queue right now?
Yeah, just go through your queue. Let's see what you got.
All right, so.
Well, did you start watching, what was it, Series of Unfortunate Events, or is that Kellen?
I'm done.
Yeah, same here. Let's talk about season 3.
So I need to watch the finale, so that's all I got left. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your impression so far?
I love it. I read the books as a kid.
Same here.
Love how close and like how like straight up to the actual story they tried to keep it. I did stop reading about like 7 in, so I'm in new territory, so I don't know if they continued to stay close to the books.
I don't remember what I was at when
there's 13 books, so
I think I finished at 9.
Here. Yeah.
I think.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So you said you were pleased so far.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, season 3 fucking sucks.
Wow.
There's my hot take. I'll say this. Season 1, season 2, fantastic. If you know anything of these books or know of it, or maybe not even know anything of it, watch it.
First I do have to get seasons, to the finale to give you my full take. Because like, obviously, if the ending sucks, I'm going to be
first
like,
2 seasons, very good. Season 3, I think it's kind of a... Yeah, pretty much. Right. So... yeah, that's one. Outside, let's keep, you know, just keep scrolling through or continue watching. I'll get into kind of an idea here.
Okay, so I got...
Let's see. Parks and Rec.
Adam I know is watching this You, which is on my list. Everyone's saying it's really fucking creepy.
Isn't it like the devil one?
No,
or?
This one is the dude
oh,
that's
he's
like
creeping around yeah, he's and like, shit. Yeah.
Which, okay.
And he like kills people
I'll
and
give
stuff.
Them credit for the title of this.
Yeah.
Think about when someone asks you what you're watching. Say what you're, say it.
Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna say it, but
I'm watching you. Yeah. That's fucking clever.
Takes
fucking
like,
clever.
Like 2 minutes to think of it, but you know we'll keep it going. Yeah, were you surprised?
How
that
dare
the
you?
Actor from New Girls and Series of Unfortunate Events?
Yeah, fucking Schmidt.
Yeah,
Max
pretty crazy. I stopped watching that show.
All right, that's a big one right there.
Bandersnatch.
Your
kind
thoughts?
Of underwhelming.
Did you watch?
Yes, and I got probably 80 something percent of the.
So you haven't
possible
done every
endings?
Single
no,
possible
and event. I'm not really motivated to do so.
Fair enough.
I like the idea of it, but it's I don't know. I mean, so my easy comparison is there is a Xbox game which does the exact same thing. I can't remember what it's called, but I'll have to look it up. I have it through my games on my Xbox, but it's the same exact idea, but it's more on the fly and like it's there's no pause in a sense. So I don't know. I like the idea of it. I just don't want it to be. I do not want that to be a trend.
Okay.
Which I really hope it isn't, but I have a feeling it is.
So spoilers coming. So just so if you haven't watched Bandersnatch.
Turn it off.
Turn it off now because we're going to talk about it.
It's very grim.
So, I mean, it's a fucking Black Mirror episode. You ever
watch
Black Mirror?
Yeah, of course.
And
yes.
Black Mirror is, I mean, if you've never seen any episodes of Black Mirror, like, buckle in. It's
buckle in and kind of really have zero expectations.
Black Mirror's premise is essentially saying technology is going to fuck us all and doom us. And, like, they're
pretty
not
much.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But Bandersnatch is interesting based on the fact that I do like the concept a lot. I think the execution,
it's fun.
The execution I actually feel like was really well done too. I like the fact that they're like, that they become kind of, we are a part of the story too, which I think is really unique.
Yeah, it's the idea of it making it more interactive.
Like, it literally gets to the point later on in the show where you get to the point where they realize that something outside of
is controlling them.
The realm is controlling them, and you can even say it's me.
Yeah.
Or like,
hey, it's me. Hey.
And yeah, I will say my favorite scene from the whole thing. Did you ever say that Netflix was watching him?
Yeah.
By far, the two best
scenes. I did so many different ones.
Two best scenes. I did everything, single thing you could do.
Yeah.
The Netflix scene, there's two different outcomes you can do from it. So he ends up going back to therapy after it happens.
Isn't that the one where
you can fight?
You can legitimately. Where it just gets super fucking weird. Like,
fight the therapist.
She just fucking.
Then the dad comes in.
Tries to kick your ass.
And then you kick him in the nuts.
And then you leave out with him, like your best friends again, which is kind of like, what the fuck?
I love it.
Yeah.
So that was really clever and funny. Yeah. That actually made me like laugh out loud. It was really good. And then there's another one apparently. Actually, I take it back because there's one thing I didn't do, and this is the one because I only did the one version of this. But the other version you can do is it just you'll jump out the window, and then you'll be on the set of a Netflix like movie.
Which is random.
So, and Adam said like he saw that one. He said he liked both of those. Yeah, I love the concept of this, and I think it unlocks the doors for like more stuff like this, and especially with more thought and better, better writing.
It would have been way bigger if Bird Box didn't come out at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Only because Bird Box has the meme factor to it now, which is a legitimate thing. I can go and I can write a fucking thesis about a meme factor to whatever you're doing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Hotline Bling.
Yeah.
That song is miles ahead of what it could have been or what it was prior to it being on Vine.
Or what it should have been.
Blew up.
Yeah.
Massive. Same thing with Bird Box. It's a meme. It's on Twitter. Everyone sees it. Everyone talks about it.
Yep.
It's in everyone's ear. Bandersnatch, if you're into Netflix and you're really, wanting to like know everything and watch everything, yeah, it's big. It's popular. But I feel like it would have been bigger if Bird Box wasn't out at the same time.
Yeah.
Simple.
Well, I think this is a big one just based on the fact that we're watching something. It's kind of like, for example, when Avatar came out and after the fact, you watch Avatar again now, especially outside of the theaters, and you're like, Avatar actually kind of fucking sucked. But
you saw
it in theaters. I was seeing something
you saw it in IMAX. You're like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen. I
literally wanted to fucking live in that forest. I've never seen anything like that. Like the
same
colors.
Thing with Brian G. Like, he lived for that movie.
It was crazy, dude. I've never seen anything like that still to this day. Like it was insane. The colors and like how like close and like how into that 3D you actually felt was nuts. I feel like this and it's opening doors for more movies like that. Because now if you go to a 3D movie. What do you see? It's more like 3D. It's not popping out at you like you used to get in like the old kids movies.
3D is kind of trending downwards.
It's different, but I still feel
either way.
For a long wave, that was a 5-year window where all 3D movies were like that.
Yeah, of course. Think about it's like the same thing with 3D TVs.
Yeah.
5-year window, gone. Don't find them anymore.
You had Avatar to thank for that fucking James Cameron. It was fucking crazy.
Either way.
$1 billion ideas.
Back to where we were at.
But Bandersnatch is like that in the fact that it's going to be a pioneer of this because there's going to be
it's the first
they
thing.
Literally announced after this came out that there's already I think they said 4 in the can of like shows like this that have already been taped. So there's more coming. So you're going to be able to do more of this stuff and they're just going to get better and better. There's going to be more stuff
like
this.
And that's
like
the thing that's great is that it gets better and better.
So
who knows? The thing that's next year, continue watching The Ranch. Never a fan.
Never watched it. It's my brother and my dad. I share a Netflix with my brother and my father.
I can imagine Adam watching that.
So go figure on that. But
fireplace for your home. Hell to the yeah. House of Cards dropped off once Costner left. Or not Costner, but Spacey.
Spacey. Yeah. I haven't watched it.
There's the best Netflix show right there. I can see it right there. There it is. Starts with an O and ends with a K. And by that, I mean Ozark.
Yeah. Yep.
That is, by a country mile, my favorite Netflix show has been and always will be.
So, haven't watched season 2 yet.
Oh, my God, dude.
It's on my list.
Oh, man, you are missing out. It is so good.
I think I got about 4 through, and then I dropped off because I was watching it with the fam, then never went back to it.
That's the best part about Netflix.
Really hard show. I've tried to watch it in the gym. Really hard show.
No, that show, you have to be sitting on your couch, full attention to that show.
That's what I'm saying. And because I love watching shows when I'm in the gym because it motivates me to stay in there even longer.
Yeah.
And but
never done that.
And I've tried. No. I've tried doing it with Ozark, but it's really hard because the lighting's always so fucking dim, so I can never tell what's going on.
Yeah.
And I hate it. So I have to so I have to watch other shit, which makes me sad because I'd rather watch that. But yeah, I fucking love season one. If you haven't watched it, I mean it is it's like if Breaking if the writers of Breaking Bad did like a bunch of speed and then started writing like a show. It's what Ozark is. It's like
crazy.
Like it's like George R. R. Martin wrote Breaking Bad is pretty much like how I describe it. It's like it just
yeah.
doesn't give two it's flying fucks about any of the characters.
Shit
it's dark
and
as
does
shit.
Not matter.
Like everything that's going on, like it's literally like every person for themselves, like Jesus. It's insane. Yeah. So yeah. Could not agree more. I'd probably rate it in my personal top five of shows on right now.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. You touched on House of Cards already too. I literally watched 20 minutes of the newest episode of the first episode of the new season. Turn it off. I was just like, I can't do it. Like
it's
they
not the same.
They barely even explain what happened to him.
Not and I'm not in no ways am I endorsing
no,
what
fuck Kevin
I mean?
Spacey.
Yeah,
he's a terrible human being.
100%.
I mean
it's
Kevin
just
Spacey
the fact that he made the show.
Kevin Spacey's it's been fucking playing himself for 10 years
decades.
In fucking Hollywood. Like
yeah.
he's
yeah.
sociopath. He fucking plays
100%.
Himself. So I definitely agree, but I do agree, too, that, like, when you take a main character away from a show and then don't even give me the decency of, like, saying, like, hey, like, he died and give a detailed account of it or, like, writing it in a little bit better instead of just glancing over, like, oh, ever since, you know, the main character's death and, like, that's all you acknowledge for
they
it.
Left
I'm
it
like,
very dry.
Okay. So, I don't know. And there were so many things that needed to be tied in and stuff. So, I don't know. It kind of sucks that that's how it ended, but, I mean, rightfully so, it should have ended that way. So, I don't know. What can you do when something that fucking terrible happens?
Yeah, simple as that.
Here's an interesting one.
Season two is, dare I say, not as good as season one of American Vandal. Just as good. It's funny, but I like season one more. Probably because I like Jimmy Tatro more.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, are on board with that, too. I liked season two a lot.
I think, for one, the idea of just something as dumb as who drew the dicks is the funniest.
Yeah. Thing yeah. I just like how they tied it together where they actually like wrote it that they're in the current world that they're in right now, but they're not at the same time. They wrote that they gained popularity from Netflix. So they're actually mm-hmm. writing for Netflix. So they made it fictional, but without
they didn't
being
really
fictional.
Hide anything. They so kind of just ran with it.
I thought that was really clever that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know what, let's see. Do you have anything that, you know, I'm omitting right now that you're just like,
I don't think so. I'm trying to think of anything else that can come to my mind. Oh, that show right there, Maniac, with, what is it?
Emma Stone
and Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Very underwhelming.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's what I've heard from a lot of people. I haven't bothered to even turn
not
it on.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fan. That's amazing they have Monty Python and the Holy Grail on Netflix finally.
Hallelujah. Great movie.
That's pretty great. Outside of that, I don't really know. Not many other things that really stuck out to me. TBH, kind of a little bit of a weak start. Of the year for Netflix. Rome, I haven't seen yet. I definitely have to watch that at some point, only because it's getting so many nominations, and I'm just intrigued as to why, even though it's a foreign film. Because
mm-hmm.
I can watch foreign films, definitely.
My brother's watched Glow. Have you ever watched that?
He swears by that.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
I've seen a couple episodes. It's good. That's Glorious Ladies of Wrestling, so it has to do with women wrestlers back in, I think, the early 90s, maybe late 80s.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, based on the start of that. So that's kind of interesting. I've been meaning to start this Sick Note show.
Oh, with, what's his nuts?
You used to played Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
Rupert Grint.
I will stand by my top two favorite shows on Netflix ever. One of them we already talked about. The other one
mm-hmm.
is Big Mouth. Big Mouth is, let me tell you, Big Mouth is a really fucked up show.
Yeah.
I've seen it. If you have a really kind of deep palate for comedy, then yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to you, watch season one, episode one. If you don't like it, don't touch it. If you like it,
mm-hmm.
enjoy it.
Because
it is so good. So good.
I recommended this documentary for Adam. And if you haven't watched this yet, you of all people.
Oh, I already
love
watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it's Sunderland Till I Die for anyone that's a soccer fan. And even if you're just a sports fan in general.
Pretty good.
It's really interesting because it actually also comes at it from an
amateur.
Well,
the Juve one, I think, is 17 times better. It's so good.
Fair
I
enough.
Mean, it's all in Italian, so you got to read subtitles. But
yeah.
It's so good. So good.
Looking at, I think the thing I like about this one for the Netflix perspective is the fact that they do a really good job of
Well, you characterizing can see them going down from the championship to the League One.
That, but it also comes at it from an amateur lens of, for those of you that, you know, don't, you know, for soccer, you're like, well, I don't really know a lot about soccer, don't really care about soccer.
Shows you pretty
It easy. Does a really good job of explaining the how significant everything that's going on is. And, like, they do a really good job of tying how close this fucking city is to this soccer team. Like,
yeah,
this soccer team is literally all this town has. Like, yeah, all the
huge
it's a
town.
Huge soccer stadium. Like, think if, like, it's very similar to, like, Green Bay. It's like
stadium
how the Packers
away,
are, where literally all Green Bay has is that team.
Yeah.
That's what Sunderland is, where they used to be in the Premier League. They just dropped out of it.
And then they dropped.
Because in soccer, you can drop out of, you know, a
multiple
league.
Leagues,
if,
which
yeah, and
you should
go
do
down.
In multiple sports.
So it's really interesting because it's about their trying to get back up and I just how devastated this town is with the fact that they're not up and then how optimistic they are about getting back up and how much they care when they struggle, how fucking irritated
that's only, my
and terrible
only gripe
they can be.
That's our own faults with this show is that we already know what happens prior to it kind of thing where
mm-hmm.
There's no surprise factor to me.
Yeah.
But it's cool seeing the much like like much more in depth behind the scenes stuff you never get to see.
Yeah,
which is definitely
true.
Worth it.
That's true.
So,
and I have just gone through The Good Place with Kellen. For those of you that don't know, it's you should always, in my opinion, you should always give NBC comedies a chance, no matter what, because they always hit home runs. The Good Place is fantastic. It's really, really good.
Never even heard of it until I mentioned it.
So it's Kristen Bell.
Okay.
She essentially it's her. And she's whisked off to heaven after she dies. So the first episode is her literally, like, learning that she's dead. She's mm-hmm. in heaven. But then she learns, like, all of, you know, heaven, all, your whole life, there's a score that's kept. And if you hit over the, you know,
yeah.
the level point, you get to go up to heaven. If you're below the level point, you go to hell. But they don't call it heaven, hell. They call it the good place, bad place. And they talk about how, you know, not everyone was right with religion, all that stuff. So that's all out of the way. But then she learns that there was a mistake made, and she should be in the bad place, not the good place.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So she's sitting there, and she's trying not to be found out.
She's, like, awkward and, like, super quiet about it.
And where it goes from there is so freaking good.
All right, don't ruin anything else, because I kind of want to watch
this. Yeah, it's very good. And it's NBC comedy. And being in the good place, my favorite part is they can never swear. So anytime they say, like, fuck, they'll say, like, fork. So, like, because they're in the good place and
yeah,
they don't like
course.
Swearing
yeah.
up in the good place. So, like, it's really, really, really clever. Like, the writing in it, it really does. It's different from, like, you know, what Parks and Rec and, like, you know, what The Office is.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of the same, like, you know, sense of humor and stuff like that. So, I really like it. And it's a kind of an unrecognizable cast outside of Ted Danson's plays, like, the head of The
Ted
Good
Danson.
Place, pretty much.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's great in it. And then Kristen Bell's the only recognizable other name. Other than that, it's kind of no-name people, mm-hmm. but they all do a really good job. But, yeah, I would recommend that really highly. I think the premise is really clever. But yeah.
Right on.
Outside of that, I mean, that's pretty much my whole queue as of right now. I got others listed, but
I don't think I have really anything else.
We can go in-depth a little more. I think we just kind of wanted to hit a couple things of what we've been watching. And, I mean, we can go really in-depth with some of these. You know, like you said, I think it would behoove us to find a series that we haven't necessarily watched and then go through it, and then we can kind of break it down episode by episode in the future or something
could
that
do
we
that.
Like.
Yeah, I'd be able to essentially, oh, my God, is that Bob Ross? Holy shit, it is. Painting with Bob Ross. Fuck yeah, I'm going to go home and watch an episode.
My God.
That is lit. Either way, yeah, there's got to be a show somewhere we probably could both watch and do that. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the Ellen DeGeneres relatable stand-up, but
all right, I'll cross that on my queue.
I never got around to watching The Haunting of the Hill House. Heard it was good.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever watch that.
I don't
either,
think I will either.
Yeah, not my thing.
No,
because I heard it was pretty fucking scary.
Oh well, if it's scary, then it's definitely my thing. Then I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a dry spot now with me for Spotify. My God, Netflix. I'm trying to watch more movies now than TV shows.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. So most important show for me. That I've watched over the last couple months.
I know what it is. You're going to say it.
Frontier is freaking fantastic. I'm just got done. They just put the third season on. It's Jason Momoa, who, if you don't know, recognize the name, that was Aquaman that just came out.
And also former
Khal Drogo. Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
Yep. But he essentially plays this. It's all about the British fur trade in Canada in the early 1600s, 1700s.
I was going to say 1800 there. Sounds way too late.
Yeah, 1600s, 1700s. Because I know it's before, obviously before, you know,
maybe
Revolutionary 15. War, everything like that. Yeah, I want to say 1600s. But yeah, it's trying to get a stronghold up there. Like the British, the French are all fighting. And then you also have all the Native Americans trying to establish strongholds up there and really establish fur trade. And he essentially plays a mercenary and kind of a vigilante and is really fed up with the British and just kind of fucking shit up. And he just goes around.
Interesting.
And, oh, it is a must watch. So good. Like, characters are layered. There's character, like, character arcs. Characters change. Like, it's very, very well done. It's like almost a little miniature, like, you know, time period piece of like how Thrones is written, where it's just like there's death.
Yeah,
there's
it follows
hung,
the same
like,
kind of beats.
I love it. So could not recommend it more. Definitely get on that. That is Brian's recommendation for the day for the pod, is go watch Frontier.
All right, I got a recommendation only because I watched it last night.
All right.
I watched a rom-com last night.
Okay.
40 Days and 40 Nights. Good movie. Not bad.
Who's in it?
Can't think of that guy's name. He was in, what war movie was it? Oh, my God. I can't think of it because I don't think I've even seen it. You'll have to look it up, but it's pretty good. It's like an hour and 25 minutes. The premise of it's fucking hilarious. It's the idea that this guy can't get over this girl, obviously. He gets dumped, and he just continually has sex with random girls and just can't stop thinking about her. So he's decided to go abstinent.
Oh, I've seen it. Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, that's the guy.
I didn't realize it was that old, what you're talking about. Yeah. That's an old movie, dude.
It's, the idea of it's hilarious. Never saw it.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Josh Hartnett. Fun fact, he's from here.
I was going to say, he's from Minneapolis, isn't he?
Minnesota boy.
Yeah. Looks yes, like sir. He is. Looks like a fucking idiot.
Okay.
Jesus, sorry. His teeth just bugged me. No homo. Pause.
Okay.
Either way, we're slowly going down a bad hill. This is just not good. Outside of that, I don't really know. I've been kind of dabbing a little bit of Hulu a little bit.
I have Hulu. Yeah. I have all of the streaming services. Amazon Prime.
Yeah, as do I. Okay, sorry.
Netflix, Hulu.
Yeah, that's about it. It's really three essentially. So, but.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I do Hulu from time to time. I mean, I have live TV on there, which is pretty legit.
I only use Hulu for probably South Park and.
I watch Rick and Morty on there.
That as well, and Castle Rock. Good show.
Yeah.
That was fucking scary.
The show, oh, okay, so if we're diving into Hulu, the show that I watched on Hulu that fucked me up that is, like, really good is Handmaid's Tale, which is a Hulu's original.
Oh, yeah, that's when it gets
that show is all kinds of fucked up, but really good. But like,
oh, if it's dark, I'm a fan.
It is. Do you even know the premise? It's based on an old book.
No.
But the whole premise is, essentially, there was some sort of, like, government takeover from this, like, really religious, like, group.
Okay. Government, religion, just tell me there's some witchcraft in here, too.
No.
Fuck.
They take over, and essentially are saying, like, we need to be, like, the whole collective, like, we're all sinners, like, need to be more. Yeah. The United States of America is pretty much taken over by this group.
Okay.
Like, it completely has fallen. Canada's, like, the safe place now. Like, it's all
it
fallen
already
down.
Is, but go ahead.
But it's run by these people that literally have, you know, it's like this wealthy elite that. There's also at some point too like a fallout of like some type of like nuclear accident or something like that where there is like some
interesting,
wastelands.
Interesting beats.
So you have that going on. So some of the wealthy elite
can't
or won't bear children, and then they believe that there needs to be handmaids there just based on
like maids basically.
Yeah. Okay. But do you know what a handmaid is? It's essentially someone that is like a surrogate mother.
Oh.
So like they bang these handmaids that like it,
okay.
Like because it's more
okay.
Because, oh man, it's so
very detailed.
Yeah, so these women aren't there by choice either. They're all like fucking taken.
Oh fuck,
by force.
Like a lot of like
dude,
backstabbing.
It's fucked, dude.
How many seasons?
Like, it is just through two. The third's on its way.
All right, we might have to end this pod right now.
Yeah,
so I can go home and watch.
Dude, I'm telling you, it'll fuck you up. There's some hard shit to watch in that show. Like,
well, you know, nothing wrong with it.
I chose to watch
Game
that.
Game of Thrones has a lot of messed up stuff
just
in it too.
Public service announcement: chose to watch that in the gym. Handmaid's Tale, probably not the greatest show to watch in the gym.
I can't
realize
watch,
that as I was doing it. Like,
I can't watch either Game or not Game of Thrones. I can't watch Big Mouth in my room like too loud, or else my mom will be like, "What the hell are they talking about?" It's so fucked up. It's weird.
Yeah. No, Handmaid's Tale. I mean, like, there's it's
all right. Well,
it is good. But
got my
yeah.
thing to watch tonight.
There you go.
Work at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Sheesh.
Another Brian recommend.
All right. There you go.
But it's been a while since I've watched it, so it didn't even cross my mind. I'm just waiting for season 3. Trying to not think about it, but Yeah. Perfect. We'll leave you guys with that. That's a lot of recommendations. We'll come back next week and see how. Well, we'll talk.
If we die,
we'll talk. Yeah,
yeah,
we'll talk. See what you think. We'll get. You have homework. You have homework for next week's episode.
Shit.
We're gonna come back with that.
Dude.
We're gonna come back with some more. We're gonna come back with some more TV, and then we're also. I think we need to do an NBA pod with the one and only.
Yeah, we
Adam
need to
Beard.
Get Adam back, and then yeah, if we're gonna do that, PSA. I was fucking right about the Celtics turning it on when I talked about it. So yeah, Adam, if you're listening to this, yeah, I'll see you next week, buddy. Also, yeah, we're gonna talk about AD some more, and you're gonna start to like him. Because he's playing and he's doing well.
It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's a dead cause. But there we go.
All right. Well, we say it every time. We promise next episode will be better.
Peace.